ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. So we're continuing our reading from the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in chapter 6, and today's text is 12, right? It's a very long purport, so rather than doing individual words and then line by line, we'll just go right into line by line. Yata agnimedyasya mritang chagoshu bhuvyannama bhujyamane chavrittim yogir manushya arhyanti itvam Guneshu bhutya kavayo padanti Yata agnimedya samritang chagoshu Bhuvyannamam bhujyamane chavrittim. Yogair manushya hadihyanti hitvam Guneshu bhujya kavayo vadanti Yata agnimedya samritang chagoshu Bhuvyannamam bhujyamane chavrittim Yogair manushya adhiyanti hitvam Guneshu bhujya kavayo vadanti. Please chant. Vaishnavis. Yata agnimedhasya amritang chagoshu Bhuvyannamam bhujyamane chavrittim Yogair manushya adhiyanti hitvam Guneshu ya kavaya vadanti. Bhuvyannamam bhujyamane chavrittim. Yogair manushya vadanti cham. Guneshu bhujya kavayo vadanti. So, synonyms, yata, as, agnim, fire, edhasi, inward, amritam, milk, which is like nectar, cha, and, goshu, from cows, bhuvi, on the ground, annam, food grains, ambhu, water, ujjamane, in enterprise, cha, also, vrittim, livelihood, yogai, by practice of bhakti yoga, manushyaha, human beings, adhiyanti, achieve. He indeed. Tuam you. Guneshu in the material modes of nature. Buddhya by intelligence. Kavayaha great personalities. Vadanti say. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. By the way, this is not a vegan-friendly verse, so if you're vegan, sorry. As one can derive fire from wood, milk from the milk bag of the cow, food grains and water from the land, and prosperity in one's livelihood from industrial enterprises, so by the practice of bhakti yoga, even within this material world, one can achieve your favor or intelligently approach you. Those who are pious all affirm this. Please repeat. As one can derive fire from wood, milk from the milk bag of the cow, food grains and water from the land, and prosperity in one's livelihood from industrial enterprises, so by the practice of bhakti yoga, even within this material world, one can achieve your favor or intelligently approach you. Those who are pious all affirm this. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is nirguna, not to be found within this material world, the entire material world is pervaded by him, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mayata Tamidang Sarvam. The material world is nothing but an expansion of the Lord's material energy, and the entire cosmic manifestation rests upon him, Matsdani Sarvaputani. Nonetheless, the Supreme Lord cannot be found here, Nachaham Teshavashtitaha. A devotee, however, can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the practice of bhakti yoga. One ordinarily does not begin to practice bhakti yoga unless he has practiced it in previous births. Moreover, one can begin bhakti yoga only by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna. Guru Krishna Pasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bhija. The seed of devotional service is obtainable by the mercy of Guru, the spiritual master, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only by the practice of bhakti yoga can one achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and see him face to face. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santak Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. One cannot see the Lord by other methods such as karma, jnana, or yoga. Under the direction of the spiritual master, one must cultivate bhakti yoga, shravanam, kirtanam, vishno, smaranam, padasevanam. Then, even within this material world, although the Lord is not visible, a devotee can see him. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyashchasmi tattvatah, and in Srimad Bhagavatam, bhaktyaham ekaya grayaha. Thus, by devotional service, one can achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is not visible or understandable to materialistic persons. In this verse, the cultivation of bhakti yoga is compared to many material activities. By friction, one can get fire from wood. By digging the earth, one can get food, grains, and water. And by agitating the milk bag of the cow, one can get nectarian milk. Milk is compared to nectar, which one can drink to become immortal. Of course, simply drinking milk will not make one immortal, but it can increase the duration of one's life. In modern civilization, men do not think milk to be important, and therefore they do not live very long. Although in this age men can live up to 100 years, their duration of life is reduced because they do not drink large quantities of milk. I told you it's not vegan friendly. This is a sign of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, instead of drinking milk, people prefer to slaughter an animal and eat its flesh. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his instructions of Bhagavad Gita, advises gorakshya, which means cow protection. The cow should be protected, milk should be drawn from the cows, and this milk should be prepared in various ways. One should take ample milk, and thus one can prolong one's life. develop his brain, execute devotional service, and ultimately attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is essential to get food, grains, and water by digging the earth, it is also essential to give protection to the cows and take nectarian milk from their milk bags. The people of this age are inclined toward industrial enterprises for comfortable living, but they refuse to endeavor to execute devotional service, by which they can achieve the ultimate goal of life by returning home back to Godhead. Unfortunately, as it is said, Natevidu Swarthagatimhi Vishnum Durashaya Ye Bahir Aratamani Naha. People without spiritual education do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. Forgetting this aim of life, they are working very hard in disappointment and frustration. Mogasha, Moga Karmano, Moga Jnana Vicheta Saha. These so-called Vaishyas, the industrialists or businessmen, are involved in big, big industrial enterprises, but they're not interested in food, grains, and milk. However, as indicated here, by digging for water, even in the desert, one can produce food grains. When we produce food grains and vegetables, we can give protection to the cows. While giving protection to the cows, we can draw from them abundant quantities of milk. And by getting enough milk and combining it with food grains and vegetables, we can prepare hundreds of nectarian foods. We can happily eat the food and thus avoid industrial enterprises and joblessness. Agriculture and cow protection are the way to become sinless and thus be attracted to devotional service. Those who are sinful cannot be attracted by devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:28, Esham tanta gata papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanda moha nirmukta bhajanti mang durida vrataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. The majority of people in this age of Kali are sinful, short-living, unfortunate, and disturbed. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadurtaha. For them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised, Harirnama, Harirnama, Harirnama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva 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 gataranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the holy means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschacha Deshtarane. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam. Vandehang Shri Guru Shiuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavangscha. Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sadivam Sadvetam Savarutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Batangscha. Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vansha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, bhakti is stressed in this verse and purport. We're all already on the path, either just beginning or like later today there will be initiation. Some devotees will be formally initiated into the process of bhakti yoga. Proper stress, initiation means beginning. It's not that now I've come before the guru, fire, Krishna, I get my name, I get my beads, and now the business is finished, I'm saved. No, that's not our path. This is a beginning. It's an opportunity to make progress back to the ultimate goal of reawakening our Krishna prema. As Prabhupada says here, if one is sinless, one can make rapid progress. Otherwise, if one is sinful, one is hardly a chance of being attracted to the bhakti yoga process. Therefore, devotees go out to try to give people the opportunity to some or other take to this process. By hearing the chanting, even if they're not attracted to it, their path has begun.
Many times we go out on Harinam. I've said this many times, but it's always funny to me. We are down the street chanting, and people hear it, and they cover their ears. But by the time they do that, it's too late. Mantra's gone in. The cleansing process has begun. Because by even once repeating Krishna's name, they've destroyed more sins, reactions to more sins that they've committed. The problem is then they go out and they sin again. But just once. Yamaraj states this in the sixth canto when the Yamadutas were severely chastised by the Vishnudutas and they went back to Yamaraj to pick. What happened? Nobody's ever stopped us from arresting a sinful person before in our experience. And so Yamaraj told him, you know, because he chanted the Lord's name, he's out of your jurisdiction. So he said, nice verse here. Agyanad attava gyanad uttama shloka namayat sankirtatim agang pungso dahed eryo yathanala. Like the Agni fire is mentioned in this verse also. So Yamaraj says, just as a fire can consume any amount of wood that you put into it. Similarly, just by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, you've burned up more sinful reactions than you can commit sins. But again, that doesn't mean that, well, I've chanted Hare Krishna so many times, now I can go out and sin again. No. That's one of the 10 offenses we'll hear. I'm sure Maharaj will say something about the 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name. And the 7th offense is, Nam no bala jyasa hi papa budhi, to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. I know it's sinful, but I calculate that since I'm chanting, and Yamar said, destroys more sins than I reaction to more sins than I can commit, so I can relax and know. So this process of bhakti, again, is being stressed here, and that's why we're here. We're all trying to become bhaktas. But bhakti is misunderstood by a lot of people. How many of you have seen the documentary film, Women of Bhakti? Put your hand up if you have. Only one person in the room? Two? Yeah, so this film was done by a devotee, Janava Hausner, as she uses her name in the film. Interesting case herself. She joined the movement in the late 80s. I was in New York, actually, when she came there for the first time. And her family was not happy that she became a devotee, or was trying to become a devotee. So they kidnapped her. They had her kidnapped. And they tried to deprogram her. But obviously it didn't work. So now she's married to her godbrother Mahatma, proper disciple Mahatma. And she put together this film. Nicely done. It's mostly interviews of different devotees practicing, like Kimuna, who's no longer with us, passed away, and so many others. But she, and I have to talk to her when I see her. I haven't seen her since I saw the movie, but she also included, I guess she wanted to appeal to a broader audience, you know, some yoga teachers here and there, and some singers, kirtan, famous kirtan singers who are not devotees of Krishna. And they prove it when they open their mouths. Like one of them said, I mean, they were both males and females. So this guy, who was a famous kirtan singer, I'm not going to say his name, but he said, yes, bhakti is about approaching the divine who is beyond form, who is beyond name. You know, nonsense. Nonsense. Just misleads people. No, the divine is the supreme form and has the supreme name. So there are a lot of these people out there in society, and they attract a lot of followers to the bhakti path, but they themselves have no idea what bhakti is all about. They have no idea. So bhakti, process of bhakti, how to practice bhakti, you can only learn that from the Vaishnavas. Only from the Vaishnavas, no one else. These pseudo-bhaktas, because bhakti proper says bhakti is the transaction, the business between the bhakta and Bhagavan. So if you don't believe there's Bhagavan, how can you have bhakti? It's not possible. And you can only be a bhakta of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. If you're a worshipper of someone else, then you're not a bhakta. Prabhupada makes this point in one of the purposes in Bhagavad Gita. You're a shakta. You're a shakti. You're worshipping the shakti, so you're a shakta. Only the worshippers of Bhagavan can be bhaktas and bhaktins. You can't be a Shiva bhakta or a Durga bhakta. It's not, it doesn't fly. It doesn't work. If you worship Krishna's Shakti, then you're a Shakta, not a bhakta. So bhakti is a transaction between bhakta and Bhagavan. And these people who don't believe in Bhagavan, they're still Mayavadis at heart, even though they're going around chanting Hare Krishna and so many other mantras. They're Mayavadis to the core. They, just like he said, he revealed in that statement, the divine beyond form and beyond no. We have form because the divine has form. But our form, it's not like his form. And also, very evident from some of these other people that they interviewed in that film, when they say bhakti, bhakti is all about love. But when they say love, they're thinking love means the kind of love that we chase after in this world. So their eyes light up. Yes, bhakti is about love. And no, yes, it is about love. It is about love. But fortunately, again, there are some devotees in the movie, so some of them said some things that set the proper mood, like Rukmini Devi. Gaur, many of you know the Kirtaniya Gauravani. That's his mother, Rukmini. And actually, they appear together in the movie. And so Rukmini was saying that, yes, at the core of existence is romance. But it is the romance between Radha and Krishna. And we're all meant to take part in that romance, not imitate. See, the non-devotees, when they take to the so-called path of bhakti, which they say is love, they're thinking, yes, love. I want to find my soulmate. And this is what it's all about. No, it is about love. It is about romance, but it's the divine love, divine romance between Radha and Krishna. And every one of us has a part to play in that divine romance if we surrender to Guru and Krishna. And we are then allowed to enter into that divine romance of Radha and Krishna. So it's very, very important for us as bhaktas, aspiring bhaktas, to understand these points and present them properly to the public. Otherwise, people misunderstand. Another devotee who kind of set the stage right, Prananda Devi Dasi, some of you know, she was saying how she made the mistake early in her devotional life of trying to give unconditional love to ordinary people, mostly men. And then she finally realized it doesn't work. Unconditional love is meant for Krishna only. Only Krishna can accept and reciprocate unconditional love. You try to give unconditional love to a conditioned soul, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And you wind up being disappointed, frustrated, like Prabhupada says in the purport today. These people who are industrialists and so on, they're trying to be happy through these other means, but they become frustrated and disappointed. Mogasya, moga karmano, moga jnana vichetasa. If you don't surrender to Krishna and worship Krishna as under the guidance of pure devotees, then you become disappointed and frustrated inevitably. Inevitably. But because we're not yet convinced in the conditioned state or in the beginning stage of devotion that Krishna prema is the goal, then again we chase after loving some ordinary personality. Setting the stage again for more disappointment, more frustration. So we have to really fix this firmly in our minds that the path of bhakti, devotional service, is to Krishna only. And Krishna's pure devotee, that doesn't mean that we neglect others. The example I like to use is the Pandavas. But Prabhupada said, practically this whole Mahabharata war, Battle of Kurukshetra, was because of Draupadi being insulted. And the five Pandavas, they were willing to die to protect Draupadi's honor. But at the end, when Krishna had gone back to his abode, and they had decided it was time to leave, they didn't even say anything to Draupadi. This is pure devotee. They're so fixed on Krishna that even though they're willing to die to protect others, when it's push comes to shove, it's Krishna. See, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So they left, five of them left the palace. And it's just by chance that Draupadi and Kunti were looking out the windows and they saw them, and they also realized it's time to leave. So we have to have that mentality that Krishna has to be in the center of everything. Not to neglect anyone, not to neglect anyone, not to neglect the family or the extended community or even the non-devotees. We know. The devotees of Krishna, they try to take care of everyone. Even the dog eaters, even the dogs should be given prasadam. Nobody should be neglected. But the core of our bhakti process has to be trying to reawaken our love for Krishna. Not being distracted by trying to love some other conditioned personality. Never ends nicely. Doesn't. Even if you're floating along thinking it's nice, Mr. Death comes along and cuts it. Finished. No more this person in your life. So we have to put Krishna in the center and focus on that. And when we all do that, lo and behold, we all get along very nicely. But when we try to, again, make ourselves a center and my love and my interest and my, then we simply clash and create a society of so-called bhaktas who are simply fighting each other constantly. I think it's Lakshmimani, when she gave class, was pointing that out. That when we are united, we are an unstoppable force. But the moment we start, we lose track of that unified mission under Srila Prabhupada's guidance of spreading Krishna consciousness. And immediately we start fighting and the whole thing falls apart. Immediately. As soon as we're not unified in this mission of distributing Krishna consciousness, we start looking around problems. Why did you do that? Who do you think you are? Immediately, we start fighting. So we have to take this very seriously. Now, I mentioned that film for another reason. On one of the extras on the DVD, I bought the DVD through Amazon, and one of the extras is the story of Gangamata Goswamini, who is disappearance it is today. Appearance or disappearance? It's appearance of Baladev Vidyabhushan, disappearance of Gangamata Goswamini. So, interesting story. I'll just briefly mention a few things about her. She was born a princess named Sachi Devi. Her father, the king, was Naresh Narayan. This was in Bengal. But even as a young girl, because you know in those days the girls got married at a young age, she made it known that she did not want to get married. She only wanted to, Krishna. Only wanted to hear about, chant about, and focus on Krishna. And so in spite of the efforts of the parents, she never got married. When her father passed away, she actually took over the kingdom. She was the de facto ruler, I guess because she was the only child. I don't know, but she became the ruler. But she was not interested, so she gave it up and went to Vrindavan. And there she started associating with and serving a great Vaishnava named Haridas Pandit. So she would serve and hear and chant, and people noted how she was very, very, becoming very expert in speaking on the Bhakti Shastras. Then her guru instructed her to go associate with one Lakshmi Priya Devi, who was also his disciple, who was living at Radhakund. So she went there, and the two of them became famous for their devout Krishna consciousness. They would circumambulate Govardhan Hill, and following Haridas Thakur's example, Gangamata, who still was at the time Sachi Devi, she was chanting 3 lakhs of names, 300,000 names every day, and living very austere life. Then eventually her guru again asked her to go to Orissa and go to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. By this time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and all of Lord Chaitanya's associates had already left. But she went there and she restored the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and established Purushottama Deity there. And she became very famous for speaking on Bhagavatam. So a lot of people had come from far away to hear her give Bhagavatam classes. Then one day on the Ganga Sagar Mela, Ganga Devi, we know Ganges is a person personified. We don't say Ganga Jal Ki Jai, although we do. We say Ganga Devi Ki Jai. Jamuna Devi Ki Jai, because they're actually personalities. Yes, the water is also sacred, but there's a person behind everything. There's a person behind all manifestations, even what we think to be material. That's another story. But so on this Ganga Sagar Mela, the Ganges River came to her ashram and picked her up and floated her into the Jagannath temple and took her to the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, where she remained overnight. The temple was locked. How did she get in? It was something mystical. So the next morning when they opened the temple and they saw her in front of the deity, they thought she must be a thief, and they arrested her, put her in jail. But Lord Jagannath himself appeared to the king of Puri and to the head pujari and said, no, she's a great devotee. And not only should you release her, but you both should take initiation from her. So that's how she became known as Ganga Mata Goswamini, because of that incident. Up until then, she was still Sachi Devi. And then it's the appearance of Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Most of you know this story. He was a great scholar, devotee. He originally came from Orissa near Ramuna. And he became a great scholar, so much so that he would travel all over and defeat. He became a big Vijay Pandit. He was defeating so many scholars all over the place. And he learned from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who later asked him to go to Jaipur because there was a sect of so-called Sri Vaishnavas who were disputing that the Bengali, our line, the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya had any right to worship Govindaji in Jaipur because they didn't have any tika on Vedanta Sutra. So at the inspiration of the deity himself, who he said dictated to him, Baladev Vidyabhushan, he wrote this Govinda Bhashya tika on the Vedanta Sutra. So he became famous for that. And on the strength of that, the Bengali Vaishnavas were again allowed to worship Govindaji. So you can see connection. Now, Ganga Mata Goswamini, also when she was in Vrindavan, she would serve Govindaji. But later on, you know, because of the invasion of the Muslims, he was transferred to Jaipur. So, anyway, again, bhakti is stressed in today's verse and purport. And again, as aspiring bhaktas, practicing bhaktas, we should be very, very firmly fixed in this knowledge that's coming down in the cyclic succession in our line. Srila Prabhupada wrote these books, again, not only for us to sell, but for us to read and understand. Because if we don't catch up the philosophy behind what we're doing, progress can slow down. Progress can slow down. So it's very important to hear. One doesn't have to be a big scholar and have a PhD and all that. One simply has to hear. If we hear submissively from the right source, then we will understand. Just like many people still in India think that if you're not born a Brahmana, you can't become a Brahmana. This foolishness is still going on. It's by birth. You have to be born in a Brahmin family. But we know that's not the case. And that's related to, again, today being initiation day. This is a verse that one should learn and understand. Prabhupada will recite this verse many times. It's a verse given by Sanatana Goswami. Comes from the Hari Bhakti Vilasa. Says, Yata kangsinatam yati kangsam rasa vidanata. Tata diksha vidanena dvijatam jayate nirnam. That just as bell metal, when mixed with mercury through an alchemical process that you shouldn't try, they used to swallow mercury sometimes and then they would urinate on regular metal and turn it into gold. But mercury is poisonous, so don't try that. So he says, Yata kangsinatam yati kangsam rasa vidanata. Just like ordinary bell metal can be turned into gold when it's mixed with mercury through this alchemical process. Similarly, an ordinary person can be transferred into a dvija, twice born, when properly initiated. So we should understand this clearly. It's not by birth. Anyone, even though Kalo Shudra Sambhava, everybody is a Shudra in Kali Yuga because the Garbhadang Sanskar is not practiced. So even the so-called Brahmin families, they're not practicing Garbhadrang Sanskar, so they're all Shudras anyway. They're walking around thinking that they're Brahmin. Shudra. Or less. So, but by being properly initiated, Diksha, this is what Diksha means. By being properly initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, one can become twice born. First birth, everybody has. Even the insects have mother, father. So that doesn't make you special to have mother, father. But the human beings can take a second birth. Who is the mother in the second birth? The Vedas. And the father? The spiritual master. And it then initiates your going back to God, your surrender to Krishna. It's initiating, not completing. The fire sacrifice initiates the path back to home, back to Godhead. So don't take it that finished. Krishna is unlimited. So knowledge of Krishna is unlimited. Krishna's seva is unlimited. Krishna's devotees are unlimited. We sometimes think, well, you know, there are 7 billion human beings on this planet and only such a small fraction of devotees. No, Krishna's devotees are unlimited. There are unlimited devotees in the spiritual sky. Those of us who are trying to be devotees here, this is our task then, to try to increase the devotee family. So it's a job that's been left for us to do. One time one devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said he was leaving with his mission unfinished. So Prabhupada said, he's Vaishnava, he's all powerful. He could have done it all himself, but he's leaving something for us to do. So we should take it like that, that the pure souls, like Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they have left something for us to do so we can get some credit. We can become recognized by Radharani and then by Krishna. Because Radharani's mood is like that. If somebody just is even slightly interested in devotional activity, she thinks, oh, what a great devotee. If I could only be so great. And she's ready to take that devotee to Krishna. Never thinking that she's the topmost devotee, which she is. Similarly, in the Padyavali, you'll see there's a verse, I forget the Sanskrit now, where Lord Brahma, he says that if someone even thinks of chanting Hare Krishna, I break out the Madhuparka. You know, you know what is Madhuparka. And I worship that person. This is Lord Brahma, the head of our Sampradaya. If somebody even thinks of chanting Hare Krishna, he's ready to worship that person. So chanting Hare Krishna is so important, so elevating, and that's our business, to chant Hare Krishna and to give it to the public at large so that they can all have a chance to go back to home, back to Godhead. So we'll stop here. Any questions, comments? I think Bhakti Eric had his hand up first, if we can get the microphone. No, you had your hand up first. Sachi will have some point that we will definitely entertain, but we'd like to hear what you have to say.
I just came across the Bhagavad Gita verse yesterday that I was kind of peculiar in reference to, our understanding that, when you're talking about demigods, it's shakta, shakti worship. So, this one, yo yo yong yong tanong pakta shadhar chitamichati. So, saying those who worship the demigods, I give them faith, I give them strong faith. But he uses the word bhakta here. I was just kind of curious about that.
Yeah, well, my understanding from Prabhupada is that, again, bhakti is only relevant to Krishna Bhagavan, and therefore you're a bhakta. He says that, actually. I forget the purport in Bhagavad Gita. And anybody else who is worshipping the shakti of the Lord is a shakta. Mm-hmm. So that's my understanding. Brigapati? No, I'm sorry. Sachi Tanoi first, and then Brigapati.
Thank you, Prabhu. Although it's a very long topic, and it's not enough time. I was wondering if you could mention something about cow protection and agriculture as a main point, that to become sinless, and actually the devotional service begins there. He mentions
that verse. Yeah, the Prabhupada says in the purport that by agriculture and cow protection one can become sinless. So Krishna's planet is known as Goloka, the planet of the cows. So if you don't like the cow, why would you want to go back to Goloka, the planet of the cows? So we should cultivate that mentality here of appreciating the cow. Krishna is a cow herd boy. And cow is one of our mothers. And must be given protection. Milk, as Prabhupada said, is essential for the proper development of your brain. And without proper brain substance, you can't even understand what is sin and what is not sin. You can't appreciate. Like there are many, you know, religious sects. They believe in God and they want to go back to God, but they think it's all right to keep eating the cow. Very confused. So this path that we're following, thankfully, is not so confused. Everything is clearly laid out. What is yam niyama? This is the beginning of any yoga practice. What should be done? What should not be done? So one of the main things that one should never do is don't kill the cow. If you want to eat meat in the Vedic, because it's understood that everybody's not on the highest standards to start with, so then one is allowed to sacrifice one goat or other lower animal before goddess Kali, and one says, Mangsa, I'm taking your life now, and in the future you will have the opportunity to kill me and eat my body. So ultimately the person should wake up and understand, wait, what am I doing here? This is a bad deal. But never the cow. Lord Chaitanya mentioned that for every hair on the body of the cow that is killed, you will have to take 1,000 births, is it? Right? 1,000 births for every hair on the body and be killed, as a cow and be killed. So imagine, a cow is an extremely hairy animal. A lot of hairs on that body. So that's a lot of suffering. It's a lot of suffering if one goes down that route. So naturally, if one develops the proper sentiment towards a cow, one will extend it to all animals. We're not saying that protect the cow and kill all other animals. And ultimately, it's based on spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge. If you see Krishna in everyone and everyone in Krishna, then you never want to harm anyone. That's the whole point of the bhakti path, is to develop genuine knowledge that, as Krishna says, today we know, again, there's initiation. Why does one become initiated? Because Krishna recommends on the strength of 434. Tadvidi paripatena pariprasthena sevaya. But the very next verse, he gives the reason why you should. What is the goal? What are you going to achieve? That if you go down that road, you take initiation and you learn from a spiritual master, then you will realize that all living beings not only are in me, but they are mine, Krishna says. So where is the question of loving God and killing God's property? Krishna says, all living beings are not only in me, they are mine. They belong to me. So if you harm any animal, not just a cow, and that's why we have to be conscious. Before you can be Krishna conscious, you have to be conscious. It's like I'm sitting here, I'm looking at that picture, it's totally askew of Lord Nrisimhadev, and nobody does anything, nobody straightens it out. That means not conscious. When we come into the temple, we should be extremely conscious. Look around, see what's happening, what's going on. You have to be conscious. So if we're conscious, we try never to hurt any living entity. Inadvertently, it's going to happen. Just by breathing, you're harming some living entities. But consciously, we shouldn't do it. I've told a story once before, and I'll just end here. I overheard two devotees talking, and there was a roach on the wall, and one devotee said to the other one, well, devotee in training, obviously, not a fool, just kill it. No, that's not our mentality. That's not our mentality. That's not the heart of a devotee. If there is an insect or anything in your home, as a grihastha, your first instinct should be, oh, you should feed it. We had an example of Prabhupada here in this quarters up here. One devotee tells a story, I think it was Hari Shori, or maybe some other devotee told. That Prabhupada called him over and said, you see that insect? And he was looking. Over there. Prabhupada said, he hasn't moved in a long time. Check on him. Didn't say kill him, throw him out. This is the heart of a devotee. He hasn't moved in a long time. Check on it. So we have to be conscious. And if we're conscious, then there's a chance of becoming sinless. But if you're not conscious, you know, we don't just go through the motions of protecting the cows, just go through the motion of agriculture. It has to be consciously done. This is Daivi Varnasha, where you engage in any of the four varnas, but you have to chant Hare Krishna and follow these principles. That's Daivi Varnasha. If you have something quick, Bhrigu, otherwise we'll stop here. It's okay? All right, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.